Hello, everyone. This is Paige Hattie, the director of Mobius Connect, and I am here today with Casey Budd, research and development chemist from Lubrication Engineers. Welcome, Casey. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Fantastic. It's lovely to get to talk to you. So as we were talking about before, Casey, this is your first interview with us. So for those in our audience who haven't met you before, would you mind elaborating on a little bit about how you got into the industry and about your role with Lubrication Engineers?
Yeah, so my name is Casey Budd. I am a research and development chemist here at Lubrication Engineers. I came here straight out of college, so a little over 6 years ago, almost seven now. I came here background in chemistry with a background in chemistry and kind of found my way here and found out that I really had a strong interest in lubricants and doing this. So here I am, and I'm excited to be here today.
Love it. That's awesome. Thank you, Casey. So we are going to be talking a little bit about gear oils today. So first and foremost, would you mind explaining to our listeners what the role is of a gear oil?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And that's one thing I had to figure out, you know, coming here straight out of college and not knowing what a lubricant was. And really one of my first projects here was to kind of redevelop and reinvent our industrial gear line. So I had to do a lot of research in that area. So I think I have a little bit of experience in what to talk about there. So I have it broken down today in kind of six different ways or six primary functions that a gear oil protects against in various gear applications. So the first function that I came up with is the gear oil protects gears and bearings from scuffing. So for those of you that don't know what scuffing is a material transfer between two mating surfaces. So in the scope of gears, think of it as, you know, the gears mesh together, they get hot, and the two surfaces may weld together. And then when you forcefully pull those surfaces back apart, you get material transfer from one gear to the other. So gear oils contain additives that activate when the surface temperature gets so high that surface contact is unavoidable. So you do end up with metal to metal contact. The additives react with the surface. And then we call those extreme pressure additives. And when the surfaces do come into physical contact, those additives work to control the friction so that the heat is lower than the welding point. So you don't end up with any sort of welding, which thereby minimizes the chance of scuffing. So that's an important aspect of the gear oil, is that extreme pressure additive and to prevent scuffing of the surfaces. A second important function is that the gear oil protects gears and bearings from pitting. So pitting is a material loss, just like scuff or like a wear mechanism or anything. But, you know, most of you might have seen where, you know, you have rust or something, you leave a piece of iron outside and you end up with pitting on it. You can have that sort of corrosion pitting, or pitting in this sense is more of a fatigue mechanism. Think of like bending a paperclip over and over until it breaks. The same thing can happen to the surface of a gear tooth or a bearing, and you actually end up with little hunks of metal coming out. So gears that are made from brittle alloys or from metals that have non-hardened surfaces are susceptible to pitting from fatigue. So the immense contact pressures that are found in the gear contacts and the bearing contacts, combine that with the cyclic loading, the over and over and over and over, you end up with the risk of fatigue-initiated pitting. So kind of surprisingly, gear oils really do little in the way of protecting improperly designed gears in this aspect. So you're not going to find if I use too soft of a gear or bearing material, it's going to be really hard to find a gear oil that's going to protect against that sort of failure. So in some sense, you can choose the right viscosity or something that may help against pitting in some aspects, but in general, the pitting aspect, macro pitting, is largely independent of gear oil choice. Third function of the gear oil is to protect the gears from micro pitting. So that's sort of a subset of pitting, and it's also known as gray staining or I forget the other name for it. But the gray staining is, if you looked at the gear, it looks very matte and finish. And it is also characterized, just like pitting, by material loss. But studies have shown that it is impacted by the gear oil choice, and strongly impacted. So really, quite surprisingly, there's a lot of studies that have shown that oils with wear rates that are too low, so I have no wear happening, combined with a rough surface, can lead to micropitting. So you think that I put in this gear oil that has no wear, that's a good thing. In some cases, that's not a good thing. So on the flip side, oils that have high wear rates, so if I just take base oil, or if I take my surface and grind it completely smooth, studies have shown that that diminishes the chances of micropitting. So really, the upshot of that is, properly designed gear oils provide resistance to micropitting through understanding that balance of wear rate and surface finish and everything. And it's about the holistic view of the gear oil. The fourth function is that the oil protects the gears and bearings from wear. So just like pitting, micropitting, wear is a material loss from the gear tooth, but that it happens gradually, you know, every loading cycle, every time they mesh or contact. And gear oils contain additives that form a sacrificial film that is constantly replenished and then worn away again, that protects the underlying gear or bearing surface from continuous wear. So we call those additives anti-wear additives. The fifth function of a gear oil is that it protects the gears and bearings from corrosion. So like I mentioned earlier, the corrosion can result from a chemical attack, or it can result from a fatigue-initiated failure. And gear oils contain corrosion inhibitors that prevent the corrosion of the gear teeth and the bearing surfaces. And then the extreme pressure additives that we use to prevent against scuffing can also chemically attack certain metals, so yellow metals, so brass, really soft alloys. So gear oils also contain special corrosion inhibitors that react to form a protective film on yellow metals, which prevents chemical corrosion from the additives that we add for scuffing. And then the sixth function of the gear oil is to provide cooling. So when the gears and bearings mesh, they generate a lot of heat, and due to the high contact pressures and relative motion of the mating surfaces, that heat can start to build up. And part of the function of the oil is to take that heat from the contact zone and to distribute it throughout the gearbox or the differential or whatever it would be. So that's really the six kind of main functions of a gear oil.
That's perfect, Casey, and kind of leads me right into my next question, which is, what, in your opinion, distinguishes automotive gear oils from industrial gear oils?
So the real driving factor behind the two different oils is really the type of gear that you find in those two applications. So automotive gear oils are designed primarily for differentials, and those differentials typically contain hypoid gears. Industrial gear oils are designed primarily for gearboxes that contain spur, helical, or herringbone type gears, which they contact much differently. So hypoid gears have several advantages, and that's why they use them in these differential applications when compared to spur gears. One of those advantages is that the geometry allows for a larger pinion for a given reduction ratio, meaning it has more contact area and thus can handle more load or more torque than a typical spur or industrial gear type. The geometry also lends itself to a very smooth mesh when compared to spur gears, which allows for less vibration, a lot quieter action. The main disadvantage to the hypoid gears, and really the reason that there's a significant difference between the oils, is that the meshing type of the hypoid is such that there's a lot of sliding that happens. And the additional sliding generates a lot more heat, which if we go back to our first question or our first answer, you know, the scuffing aspect, that additional heat really increases the chance of scuffing. So that material transfer from one gear to the other. So automotive gear oils must contain more extreme pressure, anti-wear, and friction modifier additives than industrial gear oils in order to combat the additional chance for scuffing and wear. And then the second aspect is that automotive gear oils are fortified with dispersant additives that help to keep the surfaces clean during high temperature operation. Industrial gears don't really need that much dispersant because they don't tend to operate nearly as hot as automotive gear oils. But that is the main differences between the two, and the hypoid gear is really the driving factor.
Okay, great. Thank you, Casey. Okay, so then my next question for you here. So from what you found and in your experience, do you feel like synthetic gear oils are better than mineral gear oils?
So definitely from the technical perspective, and I could get pretty deep on this, but I'll stay somewhat on the surface and I'll say not necessarily. So on the face of it, synthetic oils provide several key advantages when compared to mineral oils. And that's namely better low temperature viscosity, better high temperature viscosity, better thermal stability, and better resistance to change in viscosity over a broad temperature range, meaning they can be used in a lot wider of an environment. One key aspect that is not often talked about when talking about synthetics versus minerals in general is the reaction of the oil under really high pressure. So that going through that gear contact or going underneath the roller on a bearing, the oils tend to behave much differently than just at atmospheric pressure. So the real key thing is that under pressure, the oils will drastically increase their viscosity, and so much so that in a lubricated contact, the oil will act virtually solid. So if you read into this, there's something called EHL lubrication, and that's what we're talking about here, where you've put the oil under so much pressure that it acts solid, and you're essentially transferring all the load through the oil into the next surface, from one surface to the other without the surfaces ever even physically touching. So this solid-like nature creates that physical barrier so that the two metal surfaces can't come into contact. When that happens, the viscosity and thereby the fluid friction dramatically increase. So if you think about, you know, the hypoid gear where they're sliding, if that oil turns solid, then it increases the friction quite a bit. Synthetic oils tend to have a lot lower internal friction, meaning that they don't thicken up as much under that pressure when compared to mineral oils. So in turn, they tend to provide less operating friction under these kind of, in these gear applications or bearing applications, which means they generate less heat, which doesn't thin out the lubricant as much, on and on. So the flip side of that, flipping it around, and much less talked about side, is that under this same regime, synthetic oils provide less viscosity and potentially, you know, less protection when compared to mineral oil, you know, given an equivalent viscosity. So I would say that users really should carefully consider just off the cuff switching from mineral to synthetic on, you know, this basis alone, because the, you know, the expected performance gains may not be as expected because of this weird property that's not very well talked about. So.
Perfect. Thank you, Casey. Okay, so that kind of leads us to our next question here. And I wanted to ask you a little bit more about what you're noticing with current trends with the automotive and industrial gear oils. So what have you been seeing is kind of trending at the industry at this point in time?
So I would say my answer covers both. I think in even other industries and other aspects of other industries have the same end goal in mind, and that end goal is better energy efficiency. So both automotive and industrial gear oils are looking for better energy efficiency. And some of the ways they're doing that is they're looking at lowering the viscosity of the oil. So they also looking to have longer lubricant life. So maybe trending towards these synthetics. Now, you can't just necessarily drop the synthetic in for a mineral, so they're having to do a lot of work to come up with these new lower viscosity synthetic fluids that last a little bit longer, but that's one of the trends is a little bit longer fluid life. And then in the industrial side, they've really a lot of the newer specifications are interested in better protection of the gears and bearings. So one of those in particular that's been around for a while now is the Siemens Flinder specification. And they were kind of the first one to kind of push these ideas, and in their specification, they have some requirements for some more stringent requirements for how the oil protects against scuffing, how the oil protects against pitting, how the oil protects against micro pitting, how the oil protects against bearing wear. So these are some specialized rig testing, special test methods that have been developed that a lot of the modern gear oils are being tested against, which helps to, you know, better protect the gears and bearings and correct some of the failures that are being seen in the field. So that's really the general trends in the oils themselves, is just trying the you know, constant evolution of getting better in most ways. So
nice, that's fantastic. So then when it comes to users that may be debating, you know, which gear oil to go with, what would you recommend to them as far as like the best selection process for choosing the right gear oil for them?
So I would say our standard answer, and one that's probably not as popular to those listening, is follow the manufacturer's recommendation. But that's the honest first answer, is if the OEM says, hey, use an ISO 320 PAO with these certain characteristics, then you probably should use that to start with. Now, if you're running into issues, you're taking that gearbox and running it hotter than it should be, or you're taking that gearbox and overloading it knowingly and saying, hey, I know I'm doing this, can I correct the issue, or can I run this thing at extra capacity with a different lubricant? So you know, getting into that situation, I would say the next step would be to work with somebody, you know, work with a lubricant company. You know, a lot of times they'll have a technical engineer or somebody that will help you out with that. Independent of that, there are some resources and some guidelines that the industry puts out there. So one of the kind of recognized standard guidelines is AGMA 9005. And in that specification or guideline, you can kind of input some of the known aspects of your gearbox in that. So if I know it's a kind of a standard industrial gearbox with a spur gear or helical gear or herringbone, as long as I know my operating temperature and the pitch line velocity of the slowest moving gear, that method will give you an estimate for the viscosity that you need. Now, you still have to decide on mineral or synthetic from there, but there are some industry guidelines out there beyond just the typical manufacturer recommendation that you can use.
Fantastic. I love the candid feedback, Casey. That's always a really good perspective to have. So if any of our listeners here have any additional questions or are looking for more resources, you guys can feel free to leave a comment below where you're listening to this interview, and we'll be sure to connect you and make sure that you get an answer. But otherwise, Casey, if anyone is looking to connect with you, how can they best go about doing that?
So I would say my preferred form of contact is via email. So I don't know how we want to handle that page, but my email is c.budd@le-inc.com. So if you reach out to me via email, I can definitely take a stab and get back with you if you have any questions.
Perfect. Yeah, and we can also link your email address below in your bio as well when we post the interview, Casey. So we'll include that for everyone as well, just for their reference. But Casey, thank you so much. I know it was great getting to talk with you today and getting to meet you, and hopefully we can do so again in the future. But thank you so much for taking the time today to join us.
Sounds great. Thank you for the opportunity.